We have here a Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara there teaches us, Minayin l'roes chaveru shu tovea benar, l'chaya goroso ulistim bayin alav. If you see another, a fellow Jew, who is drowning in a river, animals attacking him, bandits, terrorists going after them, he's in a bad situation, his life is in danger. How do I know, shu chayv latil, that you, for the Torah, must go and save that person in danger? Danger, tamad lomar, as it says in this week's parasha, lo samod al dam reyach. You cannot stand idle.
You don't know how to swim. How are you going to swim?
Okay, good, good.
We're good.
Okay, I'm going to teach you how to swim.
Teach us
karate. So, lo samod al dam reyach. You can't stand by idly. This is assuming you have the physical wherewithal to do it. So this is decided halacha by the Rambam in Hilchos Utzeach. Let's look at the Rambam, Hilchos Utzeach, Perek Av Halach Yedalad. Kol hayachol lahatzel v'lo hitzel, one who is able to save and does not, meaning you're able, you have the capabilities right now to save, and you don't, over alo samar odam riacha. V'chein haroes chaveru tov v'yam, someone who is drowning, o listen by malav, or bandits, terrorists, o chayi rabba alav, or in animals, and you physically yourself can wrestle that bear to the ground. You can jump in and pull him from the water. And as we'll learn soon, you're able to hire people and you don't choose to hire them. You hear people planning against this person. Or you can stop them from coming to attack them. And you can calm the person down to prevent perhaps a bloody end. Anything like this. One who does not violate lo samod al dam riacha. So the Gemara also teaches us that not only is there a mitzvah lo saseh, a negative commandment to stand by idle and do nothing, but there's also mitzvah saseh. The Gemara says, "V'ha mehacha nafka mehasam nafka avedas gufo minayin tamalovar v'hashavosalo." So the Gemara says, "What do you mean from there? Why didn't you learn it from of hashavas aveda? If there's a mitzvah to return somebody's lost object, certainly is there not that a mitzvah?" Says the Gemara, to return a person, so to speak. If I have to be careful to return the guy's lost phone, then certainly the Torah would say I'm expected to return him to himself, so to speak. Vashavosalo. So the Gemara seems to say that there's consequently no reason for the additional verse of lo samod al dam riacha. Why do I need that? Why does the Torah have to say lo samod al dam riacha, don't stand idly by? Don't I already know that I have to go and help a person? Because I would assume if I have to return a person's lost object, I do what able I can to so essentially return them to themselves.
But it's not helping. If you need to fight a bear, you're not helping him. You're putting yourself in a fighting position that you're not sure that you're going to be out there.
Good, I hear. A valid point, yeah.
Hashevotolo is where he's already lost something.
Yes.
Not really preventing him from losing.
A future loss. Good. So the Rishonim all touch on these things. So what does the Gemara reply to this? So the Gemara says, "Ime hasam, if the halach were only derived from there, hava amina, so I would say about this, hanimili benashe, that he himself puts himself in danger, that a person has to come to his rescue if he can. And the halacha regarding, like returning a lost object, right? When you return a lost object, you go and return it, right? I found the phone, so I'm going to go and return it. So that shows me I have to put myself in that situation. Hanimili benafshe, aval mitrach migur agure emelo. But maybe if I only had the mitzvah Shabbos Aveda, I don't have to trouble myself to hire workers, to pay people, to raise money, things like that. And therefore, the Torah says, lo samod al dam riacha kamash malan, that a person usually has to hire workers, and he violates a lo saseh if he doesn't. So the conclusion of the Gemara is that when it comes to saving a life, there's not one mitzvah, not a single mitzvah, a negative commandment of don't stand by idly, but there's another mitzvah, positive mitzvah of v'hashava saveda, to essentially return the person to himself. So that is the halacha here, that a person is responsible to save another person. Yeah.
I mean, if we want to bring the analogy all the way to its extent,
yeah.
In Ashavas HaVeda, there are limitations of what you have to expend in order to return the object.
Good.
So similarly, if you consider a human life to be infinitely valuable,
yes,
on the same idea, you can't just say, you know, like, oh, figure out.
Good. It's as if you gave me a segue.
You call the police, you hire security.
So we have to see. Good. Good. We're going to touch upon what is the cost. That's the discussion tonight. What is the cost? How much do I have to spend to save a human life? We're not talking about a suffix. We're not talking about, for example, we're not speaking about right now raising money for, you know, people in Ukraine who are still fleeing or situations. That is, certainly one should do that. And there is a mitzvah certainly to help them. But the mitzvah we're talking about right now is someone who is in a clear and present danger. Someone calls you on the phone and says, this person is in a, you know, a jail in Iran, and if we raise $1 million, we can get him out. This is obviously a clear and present danger, certainly a place that no Jew should want to be. We need the money now. What's your responsibilities? Do you have to mortgage your whole house? Do you have to, what are the responsibilities one has to do in order to save a person from a clear and present danger in front of them at this moment in time?
We don't need to ask why he's in jail. Why he's in this danger.
Let's assume that all the things have been checked out. So all the facts are there. We know it's. We know there's a real danger. So how much does a person have to spend in order to save someone? So this is in fact brought technically in Hilchos Lulav. Why is this brought in Hilchos Lulav? The Rama in Or HaChaim and Siman Tov Resh Nidbav writes that you are not obligated to spend a fortune on a mitzvah asay, but you do have to spend all of your money to not violate a mitzvah lo asay. Umi she'ein lo esrog. A person does not have an esrog, oshar, mitzvah, overes, ein sarech levazvez aleim hon rab. I don't have to spend a tremendous amount of money to fulfill a positive commandment. Kvo she'amru, hamavazvez, ayavazvez, yosem echomesh. You don't have to spend more than one-fifth of how much money you have. Afilu mitzvah overes, even for a mitzvah, that will pass you by, that you won't see that mitzvah again. V'davka mitzvahs asay. This is only by a positive commandment. But in order to prevent oneself from violating a negative commandment, you must spend all of your money to not violate a negative commandment in the Torah. So it would seem then, in order to save someone's life, you have to spend all your money in order to not violate lo sam al dam reacha, right? But there's a negative commandment, and I am in a position where I can save somebody, and if I don't spend all my money available, the person will die, then I must spend all the money I have in order to save them, because it's a negative commandment on me, lo saman adam reacha, and I have to spend all my money to not violate that mitzvah. Comes the Marcheshes. The Marcheshes writes in Chelek Alf and Simen Mem Gimel, and he says that the Gemara in Sanhedrin taught us that you're only obligated in the mitzvahs asay when you can do it with your own body, right? The positive mitzvah of this whole discussion of saving somebody is if I do it with my own body. But for the lo saseh, I have to spend money, right? They're not actually perfectly tied together. They're actually bifurcated. The positive mitzvah is with my own body. The negative mitzvah is with my own money. So he says, why doesn't the Gemara say that you're chayiv to spend one-fifth of your money to fulfill the mitzvah saseh to spend the person? The Gemara doesn't say that, right? The Gemara says you're only responsible in a positive mitzvah to use your body. But you're not responsible to spend up to one-fifth to fulfill that positive commandment. So the Marcheshes explains that for Hashavas HaVeda, there's an exception to the rule. And technically, you don't have to spend any money to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashavas HaVeda. That's the halacha. You don't have to expend any costs to fulfill the mitzvah of returning lost objects. If you found somebody's lost object, you found somebody's phone, and they live in another place that you have to ship it there or get on a bus or, you know, whatever it is, you don't have to infer that cost. That's for them. You don't have to spend any money to fill the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. What's the proof? So the Gemara says the proof is that there are two boats that are out at sea. Two boats floated away from the dock. One is my boat and one is your boat. Now, I'm going to go get one of those boats, but I only have one chance to get one boat before the other one floats away. Whose boat do I have to get? Mine or yours? Mine. I can go get my boat. I don't have to go get your boat. I'm allowed to save my boat before your boat. And the Gemara tells us that you don't have to lose money to fill the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda. So therefore, says the Marcheshes, if that's the case, you don't have to lose any money to fulfill Shavas Aveda. Our Gemara is telling us that since failing to save another Jew involves the transgression of Lav D'Oraisa, of violating a negative commandment, you must spend all of your money to save another Jew. That's what the Marcheshes says, that you must spend Halacha L'Maisa, all of your money. You must empty your bank account if need be to save another Jew who is in danger. If, again, the situation is that you are capable of saving them and actually spending that money will save them and everything matches up in that perfect storm.
You're assuming no one else has the money to do it.
Correct. It came to you. It's on your doorstep. There's a discussion whether this is a chiyuv on the individual or the tzibor. Is the tzibor responsible to do these things? But essentially, if they came to you and said, now, do it. Now, it could be that you don't have the money, but your wealthy friend does. You can call them to get the money from them. That could be your answer. That could be potentially your answer out of that situation. Yeah.
Let's say the victim is Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Does he have to pay you back after you redeem him?
We're two steps ahead. Good. Now, so the Chassam Sofer has Ha'aros on the Shulchan Aruch. So in this Siman, Hilchos Lulav and Esrog, in Tafresh and Vav, the Chassam Sofer argues that it's not true. He says you never have to pay more than one-fifth to save someone who's in danger. You don't have to spend all your money. You never have to spend more than one-fifth. The Chassam Sofer says that the rule of how much money you spend depends on how you will violate that Isser. Not all Yisurim are created equal, we all know, right? Sometimes you do an Isser Bekum Ve'ese. I get up actively and I eat the ham sandwich. But sometimes I can do an Isser by sitting there and doing nothing and simply letting something pass me by. He says, when you do an Avera Kum Ve'ese, I actively go and do an Avera, then you have to spend all of your money. It's true. In that case, if a person would be in a situation where if I don't spend all my money, I will, you know, have to eat a ham sandwich. So then I would have to spend all my money to not violate that Avera Kum Ve'ese actively. But if I fail to save someone, then did I actively do something wrong? No. I was B'shev V'al Ta'asa. I sat there and did nothing. I was passive. Then that's similar to really violating the Mitzvah Aseh. It's really like violating a positive command because I didn't technically do anything negatively. I sat there and did nothing. And therefore the Chassam Sofer says, since when I have somebody in danger and I choose to not do something, it's not an active violation of a Torah prohibition, he says that if it will cost you one-fifth of your assets to save someone, then you must do so. You have to. But you don't have to spend more than that to save someone in danger. This is the opinion of Eliyashiv as well, Nishmas Avram, that one doesn't have to spend more than a fifth to save someone. So how do we pass on the halacha? All your money, some of your money. The halacha is regarding a Shabbos Aveda of property. Person's not required to forego his own money to save another person's property, but a person is required to forego money to save another person's life, such as hiring a rescuer, getting a helicopter, an airplane, whatever it is, to save that person who's in danger. Because the Isser to stand idly by, a person's even required to give up all of his wealth to save another Jew from any imminent danger. That's the halacha in Choshen Mishpat, the last halacha in Choshen Mishpat, in Siman Tav Chav Vav, in Shulchan Aruch, the Rav Yaakov Emden, Shiras Yaivitz, the Chavetz Chaim, the Avos Chesed, the Darchei Tshuva brings the Zera Emes, Rav Moshe Feinstein, the Tshuva Nerodei, Chelet Besim, Kufay, and Dalid, all saying that you must give up all of your money to save someone if that is the situation. That's the halacha. Okay? Let's get to the next question, which is, do I get my money back?
By the way, is this saving life and pidyon shvuyim, or these two separate things?
Pidyon shvuyim is not necessarily the same. It's not. Obviously, each case of pidyon shvuyim is different. Are we talking about modern day pidyon shvuyim, or are we talking about pidyon shvuyim like in the Middle Ages? Pidyon shvuyim in the Middle Ages is, you know, a person has a clear and present danger in front of them. Each case has to be looked at on its own.
Would this be similar to giving bone marrow?
This is definitely part of the situation. That's definitely part of the conversation. Or a kidney, blood, things like that. All those, it's all tied into the same conversation. L'halacha, a person does not have to give up a kidney, bone marrow, things like that. But if they do, there is a mitzvah. We wouldn't. I recall hearing once, I think Rav Asher Weiss writes this in his tshuva on kidney donation. He says, it's karov to a chiyav. It's almost. He says, I can't tell you that's a chiyav to do it, but it's almost something that someone should, you know, if a person's capable of doing it, then it's something that, you know, they should consider. Next. Comes the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin, the Meiri, the Rush, and they all say that if you spend money to save someone, you can ask them to pay you back. Right? So your friend is trapped on a mountain, and you hire a helicopter to go get them, and that costs, I don't know how much a helicopter costs, but let's say it costs $10,000, so you can send them a bill for that helicopter who went to bring them back. The only thing the Gemara says you have to do is put in the tircha, but if you have the ability to reclaim the money from them, then you're allowed to, says the Rush. The truest Maran Bar Baruch says if you tell the person, you can save him. And the person says, I don't want to be saved, it will cost money. Send back the helicopter, I can't pay the bill. And then you say, no, I'm going to save you anyway. Then you can still ask him for the cost of the helicopter. Even so, you can ask him for the money back. Rav Yosef Engel, Megill Yonah Shasim, Bava Kama, says that a doctor can promise to heal someone, and then he can take to a din Torah to get money back. The doctor can do that. He says, I'll take care of you, I'll heal you, and then he can ask for money after he heals the person. The halacha, based on the Rush, cited in the tour there in Simtach Avav, is that any damages the Savior suffers should be paid to the person saved. That's the halacha. And this is based on the person whose case of a person who's being chased by a rodef. Reuven is chasing Shimon, and you see Reuven after Shimon, and he escapes by damaging other people's property and rats. Shimon knocks down a fence, he jumps into a car, whatever it is. When a person saves himself at another person's expense, you're chayv to pay the damages. And similarly, the rescued person is required to reimburse here if he's able to pay. Now, let's talk about the following case. Let's say you see somebody who's out on the docks and somebody fell in. If you have a mitzvah now, lo sam al dam re'acha, you're going to jump in and you're going to get them. So seconds count, and you run into the water and you pull the person out. And then you come out of the water, so you realize that your phone was in your pocket. And it came out of the water as well, and now your phone's done. Can you send the person a bill for saving them? I'm not asking should you. I'm asking can you. Can you send the person a bill for a new phone? So the answer is, yeah, you could. Because in that case, seconds count. Seconds count. You're not going to sit there, hold on a second, hold my phone. No, you're going to jump into the water and save the person. If it was a reasonable thing that you could have saved your object and then you jumped in because you were being, you know, impetuous and not paying attention, then that's on you. But if seconds count and you will go there right away, then yeah, 100%, it would be common decency to pay. But nonetheless, if it's difficult when saving a life to consider all the monetary ramifications, but you could, and perhaps it would be nice of the person who was saved to pay you back for the damaged phone. What if I know beforehand that the guy can't pay? The guy went into the lake, and I'm going to jump in. I'm like, he's not good for the money, right?
The application does not depend upon his ability.
Good. So that's not a reason to avoid saving his life. The Meiri, Shulchan Aruch Harav, Hilchos Nizkei Guf say, you got to save him anyway. You can't not save him. But again, there's reason to worry about to perhaps getting the money back. What if he doesn't have the funds? Let's say the guy says, thank you so much for the helicopter, but I don't have the money. I don't have the cash to pay for it. Does he have to pay out installments? Does he have to wait till he gets a bonus and then the bonus goes straight to me for selling the helicopter? So this is a machlokas. Is it similar to tzedaka? The Mishnah in Peah in Parakeh says that if a person is traveling and they're out of money, they can get money, they can get food from tzedakah. They're allowed to collect from tzedakah, even though he has a very fine home and a nice fancy car and a nice bank account. But in his situation right now where he is in Kalamazoo, he has nothing, so he can take tzedakah to get food, even though he has money at home. And the Rambam writes in the Parash Mishnayos that he's only chayv to repay as a midas chasidus. He doesn't have to repay tzedakah afterwards, because right now he's an ani. Right now he's poor. So some person want to say, that's the same thing over here. It's a moral obligation to repay if I can, but I don't have to at any point. If I want to pay over time, it's nice and super, I don't have to. Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach argues, Rav Alyashev argues, he says that the traveler who returns home is like a poor person who later became wealthy. When I got charity, there was no expectation to pay. Right there, I needed charity. But the rescued person becomes chayv to reimburse the one who saves him. So he always remains obligated to pay the person who saved me, no matter what's going on. Now, that's case number two. So do you have to repay? Yeah, you do, and you should try to do your best to try to repay in some form. The last shaila about this particular case is, what if you caused damage to somebody else trying to save the person? Lo samal adam reyacha. I jump in to save the person, but in doing so, I found my inner, cop movie, and I commandeered somebody's car, and whatever it is, and I did something, and I hurt something, or I damaged something on the way to save somebody. Am I responsible to pay damages? So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if Reuven is running after Shimon, and Levi is running after Reuven to stop him from hurting Shimon, and in the process Levi damages something or someone, then Levi doesn't have to pay. The truth is that min haTorah, you should be responsible. Midoraisa, Levi is responsible for stopping that rodef. He is responsible. But there's a takana midirabban, a rabbinical enactment. Why? Because every single time you think in the background, if I go and save this person, and I break a fence, or I do something, and now I'm going to get a bill for it, no one's going to go save people. Because every single time the Hatzela guy has to, tear open the guy's shirt, break down the wall, whatever it is, he's like, I don't know, I'm not so sure about it. And that would certainly have a chilling effect on Hatzelas Nefashos. That's the Derabanan. Now, what is the difference between breaking something to save someone, where you have to pay out of pocket, and where you have to pay a service out of pocket, and the person has to pay you back? Why aren't those the same things? This is what the Rishonim ask. Why isn't that the same thing? If I'm allowed to charge for saving somebody, why is it not comparable here as well to when I cause damages that I should simply be exempt as well? So the Ravid says that there's only a mitzvah of lo samod if you, the gavra, you the individual, are present and know what is going on, right? I have a situation in front of me, I see a danger, and I can respond to that danger. But my object, my cheftza, my property, has no mitzvah lo samod al dam reyacha. My phone has no mitzvah tzalas nefashos. It's an object. Someone takes my cheftza. If I'm not around, right? I'm not around right now, and there's a case of danger, and then someone takes my property and uses it to save somebody else, and my property gets damaged, well then, my phone, my property was not chayv in mitzvah lo samod al dam reyacha. And therefore, it is hezek. It is hezek min hatorah. You did damage my property because my property is not part of your hatzalas nefashos. That's on you. It's not on my property. That's one of the reasons why we need a special takana for damaged property. So let's talk about the following case. A truck is going out of control on the road. You see a dangerous object coming towards you, and it's heading towards you and your family in the car. So to save yourself, what do? You swerve off the road, and in swerving off the road, you hit a car, right? Are you a mazik that I have to pay this innocent bystander? You swerve to save yourself, and you hit somebody else. Do you have to pay?
Of course, yeah.
So, on one hand, I was matzil atzmo b'mamon chavero. I saved myself through the property of another person, right? And therefore, you're chayv to repay. That's the halacha. If you use somebody else's property to save yourself, you have to repay. But on the other hand, your family was in the car with you. So not only did you save yourself, but you also saved your family. And in that case, what's the halacha when damage is incurred when you save somebody else? You don't have to pay. The halacha.
You don't need to pay them, but you don't need to pay your family. You need to pay the other family.
True,
you
but
got
I...
a big mitzvah because you saved your family, but you still need to be responsible.
But the halacha is that if I save somebody else, I don't have to pay.
But you save yourself the same.
Ah, so that's the shaila. Do we look at me or do we look at my family? So this is a fascinating machlokas haposkim. The Nesivas HaMishpat, the Baal Nesivas Rav Yaakov Lorbam, writes in Siman Shin Mem Dalet. He discusses the case of a terrorist who came to attack, and somebody, in order to fend off the terrorists, grabbed and borrowed somebody else's weapon, and in the process of defending against everybody, against the terrorists, the weapon broke. And the weapon was broken. So the Nesiva says that since the weapon broke while trying to save others, therefore any damages are patar. Yes.
But this is easy. Of course it's easy.
Why?
Because even if by mistake you injured other people, you patur. But this is it's because when you drive and you hit somebody else, they have no idea what's going on. You hit them. You need to. It's fair to be responsible for them. They have no idea what's going on. Something hit them. You need to be responsible for them. Of course, if it's you, only you, and something broke. If they scratch the car, no big deal. But if something happened and the car is damaged and they are in the ground, you need to be responsible.
But the whole Gemara is telling us that if you're saving other people, so you're putzer.
Yes, but you, no problem. Let's say if I hit your car and you're now stuck and you cannot go to work, and I tell you, I just saved my life, my family.
I'm not saying what the right thing to do is. If you want to go above and beyond, by all means. I want to know, can the guy bring you to Baston and get money out of you?
I'm sure he can.
No, not if you went to the basin, if you went to the basin of the Nesivas HaMishpat in the 1700s, he would say, no, the guy saved himself, you're good, you're fine. The Minchas Pitim and the Pnei Yeshua argue. They probably go to Ilan's basin. So they argue. They say that when both yours and others' lives are at stake here, and it's natural for self-preservation. Yes, I'm saving other people, but instinctually, we also want to save ourselves. And you come first in your own mind, and we don't look at the fact that you saved others. And therefore, they say, you're chayav to pay damages when saving yourself and others.
You know what I think, if I'm driving, and I'm saving my family, but when I'm driving, I'm thinking about myself, I'm not thinking about my family. So when I'm doing this, I'm not thinking, I'm saving my family because I'm doing the same thing when I'm driving by myself.
Good. So that's what the Minchas Pitim is saying. That's what he's saying. He follows you. He's saving yourself. So what's his source? What's their argument? The source is the whole sugya of Asur Lahatzal Atzma Min Chavero. The Gemara in Bava Kama Daf Samech is the source that you're not allowed to. If you use somebody else's property to save yourself, you have to pay back. What's the story there? The Gemara in Bava Kama is talking about David HaMelech and his army. The Plishtim hide in the barley fields, the stacks of barley, and they're attacking the Jewish people and David's army. So the Gemara says that David asked the Shaila to the Beis Din, am I allowed to burn down the barley fields in order to drive out the Plishtim? But in doing so, what am I going to do? I'm going to ruin this family's barley fields. So David HaMelech wanted to burn down the stacks to kill the Plishtim and to save, says the Gemara, his own life. He was saving his own life, and he was also saving the life of the surrounding neighborhood as well. Nevertheless, says the Minchas Pitim, the principle of that you can't save yourself with other people's money still applied to this case. Meaning the whole source of this halacha is our exact case of David saving himself and other people. And yet in that case, when David is saving himself and other people, the psak was he couldn't do that. He had to pay back. And we don't see that the soldiers claimed that they were saving others and themselves, and therefore they should be patur. And that's the argument that's given, and that's the shita of most poskim following that line of the Pnei Yehoshua and the Minchas Pitim, that if you do save yourself and other people at the same time, you have to pay. Because, essentially, you're being saved as well. Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Inigos Moshe, Choshe Mishpat, Chelek Beis, Simen, Samach Gimel. He was asked to shaila by the Baba of a Rebbe. The Baba Rebbe borrowed huge amounts of money during the Holocaust to save European Jewry. And after the war, there was a dispute with how much money he owed back. He borrowed a lot of money. And there was a big discussion about being able to be paid back. More importantly, the Baba Rebbe claimed that since it was for Hatzalas Nefashos, he took all this money to save Jewish lives, I shouldn't have to pay Mikar Adin. He said, but I'm a good guy, I'm going to pay, but I'm going to pay back on a very, very, very long-term plan. It's a lot of money, but I'm not chayav to pay you all of it right now, said the Baba Rebbe, because it was for Hatzalas Nefashos. That's what he argued. So Rav Moshe ruled that the Rebbe was chayv to repay the loan al pidin, not as a chumrah. The Bavar, we had to pay every single penny al pidin, even though we borrowed to save lives. And Rav Moshe writes that because the takana of being putter from damages when saving someone else is only in a case of chasing, it's a case of damages, something that's getting in the way of Maisa Hatzala, right? I'm going to save right now, and something is in the way, and it needs to be removed, and there's hezek going on in that process. Says Rav Moshe, it's not a very broad din. It's a very narrow din. The halacha that one is putter when damaging other people's property in saving another person is only in, literally, damaging other people's property. It's not about money and loans and things like that.
But when he took the money from them, he told them that he borrowed from them, or he took the money from them?
It was a loan. But even so, you don't have, his claim was, even so, it was a loan, I don't have to pay, because I used to save other people.
I mean, you said he, but it was a loan. He told them, okay, I give you the
money so I can save someone.
Correct, yeah. So the Bava Rebbe said, I don't have to pay, because I'm saving other people. And Rav Moshe said, that's true, but this is not that Gemara. He said to the Bava Rebbe, everything you're saying is correct. You use money to save other people. But the heter of a get-out-of-jail-free card in order for damages when saving other people is only in the very narrow case of damages when saving other people, but not borrowing money. The Gemara is not talking about that. It only applied to Hezek. And again, Rav Moshe is against the above Nesivas HaMishpat, because the Nesivas HaMishpat wanted to apply that principle of saving other people to the to a more broader case as well. And Rav Moshe is saying that essentially it's only in that narrow particular case of trying to break into something, tearing something down, the case of Hezek, where it applies. Okay, so we should, Baruch Hashem, hopefully Ezra Hashem not be in such situations. People should not be in danger. But if a case, if someone is in such a situation, we know that one has a mitzvah of lo sama la dam reacha, and if need be, you can get paid back. Okay?